Britain.
Badgett. England Away. A weekend with Gareth Southgate and friends.
On the 302 tram to Gelsenkirchen, a grim industrial city near the Rhine, a group of England fans are hammering the ceiling and chanting, "He comes from Barnsley, he plays in blue and white, he hates the Germans, he thinks they're fucking shite, he's breaking ankles everywhere he goes, his name is Johnny, Johnny fucking Stones." Then the tram pulls up to a stop named after Willy Brandt, a former West German chancellor. Singing about the English centre-back stops, and a discussion of German historical trivia begins. "Shame his secretary was a spy," says one of the chanters, displaying a surprisingly detailed knowledge of 1970s Cold War history. England's men's football team is the fault line, where high and low culture meet. Gareth Southgate, the England manager, has become an avatar for progressive patriotism. A recent play about his tenure, Dear England, was nominated for a slew of awards. At the European Championships in Germany, the other side of this fissure is on display. Englishmen take the opportunity to revel in offensive chants while they get completely wasted. Some do it with a wink, others do it with a snarl, but almost everyone joins in. England Away is not for every football fan. Many do not bother. Successful clubs qualify for European competitions, which means that their supporters already enjoy regular trips to Milan or Munich. Fans of Walsall FC, not so much. The St. George's flags that hung from the Arena Auschalker for England's game against Slovakia on June 30th were emblazoned with the names of these fans' towns. A tour of Mercia, the M62 corridor, and various miserable spots around London. "These places that we're told sound like shit places," says the character of Mr. Southgate in Dear England, "but they're our shit places." England fans provide a political barometer of sorts. At the European Championships in 2016, supporters engaged in a retro bout of bottle hurling at police, chanting, "Fuck off, Europe, we're all voting out." At Euro 2024, views were more eclectic, if still nasty. "I'm a semi-racist," says one fan, semi-baldly. Have Mr. Southgate's attempts to foster a new sense of civic nationalism all been for nothing? "And I'm voting Lib Dem," he adds. Perhaps not. On the concourse of the stadium, before the match, a chant of 10 German bombers begins. The Football Association insists that any England supporter caught singing the song will be banned. Yet, to the tune of "She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain," a bouncing horde of Englishmen chant, "There were 10 German bombers in the air, and the RAF from England shot one down." Ironic transgression blends with outright xenophobia. "How much is sincere?" "99.9% of it," says one fan. "How much is ironic?" "All of it," replies another. Everyone is simply having a laugh, even if no one agrees about what. For a crowd fueled by lager and cocaine, Gelsenkirchen is only 60 metres above sea level, but there were still a few nosebleeds. It is a remarkably friendly mob. Slovakian fans pose with England fans before the game. An angelic child asks to borrow a megaphone from a German volunteer. "No swearing," warns his father. Instead, in his sweet, unbroken voice, the child claims he's on a bender and that a rival player is a sex offender. English exceptionalism comes in two forms. One is the idea that England is uniquely brilliant, the other that it is uniquely embarrassing. On a train to Dortmund, a well-refreshed Danish fan puts paid to this second myth. "Why can't England fans sing 10 German bombers?" asked the Dane. "I don't know. I don't make the rules," replied one England fan. "But why?" asked the Dane. "Because loads of people died," muttered another England fan, staring at his shoes. "Why skip a chance to goad the Germans?" wondered the Dane. "They know what they did." Pour 6 hours' worth of lager into a man from Coventry, Copenhagen or Cologne, and the results are similar. During this tournament, a Scottish fan has exposed himself live on German television. Fans of Balkan teams have been criticised for chanting in favour of genocide. Reputations matter, and England's fans still have a poor one. But the terrifying violence of the 1980s is long gone. Genuine psychopaths have their passports confiscated. Even if the problem of hooliganism has largely been solved, its causes remain. Ennui compelled Englishmen to pummel each other every weekend, wrote Bill Buford in Among the Thugs, the best account of 1980s hooliganism. Working-class jobs disappeared. All that remained was a grotesque pastiche of working-class culture in the form of football thuggery. It was a bloated code of maleness, an exaggerated, embarrassing patriotism, a violent nationalism, an array of bankrupt antisocial habits. The description fits as well in 2024 as it did in 1990, save for the violence. Today's England fans instead offer a hold-me-back, pretend masculinity. A smattering of men with an air of genuine menace are outnumbered by shirtless IT workers and wealth management professionals with a 2-1 from a red brick university who can shout abuse at opposing fans in the knowledge that nothing dangerous will happen. It is performance, a chance for a grown man to scream, "England, till I die!" into a news camera before running off giggling. On the shuttle bus, away from the stadium, another chant begins. Slovakia's going home, and England's on the piss, with all the ironic bravado of fans who have just watched their team struggle to dispatch opponents from a country of 5 million people, 40 places below them in the world rankings. A silence falls over the shuttle bus as it zips through the grey industrial suburbs. It will be work again tomorrow. Then a new chant starts up. The wheels on the bus go round and round.